fly with me. Let's fly away.
There is nobody better than Peter Greenberg, a man whose home is row 2, seat A. He has been on more airplanes than you've ever seen or ever considered in your life. He flies the world over. He brings people together, and he tells people how to get from here to there. It's my pal, Peter Greenberg. Good morning, Peter.
I love that introduction. Did I write that?
No, I wrote it in my head just now. How are you?
I am very good, sir.
All right, so give me a little bit of an update on this this Air Max story. How bad is this junking up the airlines, and did it have anything to do with the IT problem we had this week just yesterday?
Had nothing to do with the IT problem at all. That was a separate issue, which we could talk about. But the actual 737 Max investigation is continuing on about five different fronts. Obviously, internal at Boeing, internal at the airlines, and of course you've got the Department of Justice, the Department of Transportation, and Congress, all looking into what I happen to think is a longstanding problem in the relationship between Boeing, the manufacturer, the airlines, and of course the real problem here, the FAA.
The FAA, more of a political organization than a functional safety organization?
Well, it's got an internal conflict, and the internal conflict goes back to when it was established by an act of Congress back in 1935, and it gave the agency essentially a schizophrenic mandate, which they couldn't ever do. Part one was they had to enact and enforce safety regulation and policy, fair enough. But part two, and this is where it gets a problem, they were supposed to always promote the business of aviation. You cannot do both. It's impossible. It's internally conflicted. And as you look at it historically, every time that the FAA was confronted with either overwhelming evidence about a safety regulation or a safety recommendation, they tended to either slow walk it or side on the economic impact on the manufacturer or the operator. This is not exactly always acting in our best interest.
So what's the timeline like? I mean, is this going to be back online, this fleet, anytime soon?
No, this now it's going to be longer, and because the focus is so much on this relationship that the certification process of whatever solution Boeing is going to prepare, and I'm sure they're going to have one, is going to be certified like by the book for a change. And not only that, you've lost a lot of trust here with the FAA and also with the manufacturer. And so some countries have already gone public and saying, let's assume the solution's a good one and it's provided. We're not going to wait for the FAA to certify it. We're going to certify it ourselves because we want to make sure. And that was Canada, by the way, made that announcement.
Yeah, not exactly on the other side of the world.
No.
All right, so the Air Max problem is an economic problem for the airlines to an extent that we're going to get whacked with price hikes or not so much?
Depends on the airline. If you're looking at an airline that has got many of them, like Norwegian Air Shuttle, or more airlines overseas have these planes than have them in the U.S. right now. If you add up the number of planes, the 737 MAX 800s, that are actually operated by United, by American, and Southwest, it's only about 100, many more than those overseas. But what you'll see are the airlines seeking compensation directly from Boeing for lost revenue. You'll also see airlines, it's already started to happen, either canceling orders for additional planes or trying to convert the additional orders into an order for a different kind of plane. So the economic impact here is going to be longstanding and pretty severe.
It's got a huge problem for Boeing. How does the company not have this just crush it?
Well, first of all, they're the largest exporter in the United States. They're the biggest canary on the tree, and they're a big military contractor as well. You know, we used to have Lockheed, we used to have McDonnell Douglas, and we had Boeing. Now we just have Boeing. And look, are they going to be hurt by this? You bet. Are they going to survive? You bet. The real question is, how are they going to survive in a way that changes this relationship with the FAA and allows the FAA to do what they're supposed to do? I'm going to give you a situation here, Steve, that's even worse. First of all, I'll start with some good news. We've just basically celebrated, if you will, the 11 safest years in the history of commercial aviation since aviation began. That's great. We've only had one fatal accident in the last 10 years.
Right.
And that was Colgan Air back in Buffalo back in February of 2009. That's it. Only one crash in the United States. That is absolutely amazing, wonderful. I can't say enough wonderful things about it, with one comma. And the comma is this. We may not be able to improve that statistic, but how do we maintain it? And we don't maintain it if we have this kind of relationship. And it really gets down to maintenance. The FAA doesn't have enough inspectors. They don't have enough resources or budget to proper oversight this situation. More and more airlines are outsourcing their maintenance to MROs, that stands for Maintenance Repair Organization, and they're over, many of them are overseas. Now, I've seen those operations. They do a great job. They really do. But who's inspecting the work? Here's the crazy part. If you're an FAA inspector and you want to go inspect an MRO overseas, first you've got to get permission from your superior, and there's got to be budget for you to go. And now, fasten your seatbelt. If you do get permission, you actually have to give the MRO a 7-day notice that you're coming. Now, well, that's then, like they yeah, they, telling the restaurant.
Yes. You got a week to clean it up.
Telling the restaurant. Right. This, and then, wait, it gets worse. Once the inspector gets there, they usually don't have enough budget or time to do any kind of inspection work other than look at the books, which means anybody can take off a box. They're not looking at the work. They're looking at the paperwork. There's something wrong here.
Yeah, you can't self-police. I mean, you know, no. Look, it'd be nice if everybody in the world was honest, but people don't call penalties on themselves, especially when there's large amounts of money involved. All right, good news. Peter's coming to town. He's going to tell you what in just a second, because they're going to come in studio. They, who could they be? Well, the last time he did this, he brought in the president of Ecuador. You never know who's hanging out with Peter Greenberg. More on that in just a second. PeterGreenberg.com is the website. Next time Peter Greenberg's on, we want to have just all the generic listener questions on travel that we can ask.
Yeah.
Collected. So where do you want people to send them?
They can send them to, if you go to the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page, you could go there, or you can send them to me, M. Sandberg at WGN Radio. And Peter, you know, I do have a question for Peter.
Go ahead.
Is he on? Oh, I'm sorry. Peter, we were, my husband and I went to Palm Springs in mid-March, and we were on those planes, but they got grounded the day before we left.
The Air Max.
Yeah, and then they got, you know, grounded on the way back, so we, you know, we had to take other airlines, and I'm still working on the getting the credits for the upgrades that I had paid for the original flights. How long should I expect before, every time I've tried to call American, they're like, wait times are very long because people are still trying to sort out their flights that are canceled.
Well, if you're just waiting for those credits to be redeposited, I'd say you're gonna probably wait another month.
Oh, okay. That's not long.
Yeah,
to me. Isn't that
actually
long?
An airline time? Peter, correct me if I'm wrong. In airline time, a month is speedy.
Oh, okay. All right.
For that kind of paperwork, that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. I got a question for you. Every time you're on a flight, American or United now, the flight attendants are pitching credit cards.
Oh, I know.
And I mean pitching them hard.
They are.
And the flight attendants on American were going, we'll give you 60,000 miles. We'll give you, this and that. And you can transfer them to your dopey uncle. You can do anything. We just need credit for this because they're leaning on us. Good idea or bad?
Well, the last time I looked, flight attendants were there for your safety, not for your credit line. and a number of the flight attendants that I've talked to are sort of angry about it because even though they get sort of a commission, they get commissioned on this. Because if you look at the actual application they're handing out in the aisles, each application that you fill in has a code on it, and that code goes back to them. So they get a little bit of money for it, but I think it's a little bit insulting using the airplane environment to try to sell stuff. I mean, it's bad enough as it is. So that's my response.
The lead flight attendant actually apologized on our flight, said, for you frequent flyers, I'm sorry about this, but we're mentioning it because it's what we need to do right now. And, you know, she was just short of saying, look, this sucks for me, too.
Well, there you have it. You know, they're in a situation where if you hear a big bell ringing behind me, it's because I'm in Seville, Spain, and it's 3 o'clock here.
Oh, fantastic. And by the way, Seville, Spain reminds me of international Peter Greenberg. Who are you bringing in next time you're in town?
Well, as you know, Steve, for the last 18 years, hard to believe, I do a special series for PBS called The Royal Tour.
Yep.
And what that is I go to individual heads of state, kings, presidents, prime ministers, and I get them to give me the improbable of 6 days of their schedule completely unencumbered. And then for the next 6 days, that king, president, or prime minister is literally my personal tour guide to the country for a one-hour special told through his or her eyes. And as you mentioned earlier, the last time we came in was with the president of Ecuador when we did the royal tour of Ecuador. This time, something near and dear to so many people in Chicago, we were doing the royal tour of Poland.
How about that?
With the prime minister. Yeah. So he'll be with me. Mateusz Morawiecki will be with me in studio with you on the 16th of April.
That'll be fantastic. I look forward to seeing you. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon in Spain. Try the sangria.
What a lucky guess.
Yeah, I'm really pulling for one. Thank you, Peter.
You got to see.
It's Peter Greenberg from petergreenberg.com. He is the travel genius. He's a guru.